And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Only about 55% of adults participate in a workplace retirement plan, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. New legislation passed just last year aims to change those numbers. So joining us now to discuss that legislation, known as the SECURE Act, or the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act, our Barnes Dennig CPA, Agnes Spelker. Welcome, Agnes.
Welcome. Thank you.
And also with us is Wells Fargo financial advisor Chris DeSimio, who is here in the studio with us on this mild Tuesday, January 14th. Chris, thanks for coming back in.
You're very welcome.
Okay. So a lot of legislation comes out with some cutesy acronym and some stretched explanation for what it is. So it's called the SECURE Act for short, but the acronym stands for Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act. And Agnes, I want to know, what exactly does that mean?
It means a lot of different things. They have revamped the retirement system in many ways, a better way. In some ways, some people will say, no, not such a good idea. What they're doing is providing credits for small businesses to have more retirement plans. They are allowing part-time people to get into the retirement plan. So those that didn't have access to a 401k now will have access. They are allowing additional automatic put-in of a retirement plan up to 15%. So there are employees out there that don't understand the system that an employer may put 15% of their money away in retirement, and the employees really not understand that. But that way, the retirement account will be established and started. Now, is that a good thing? Well, hopefully those employees understand what's going on. Will it be a good thing in the long run? Yes, because they will have a retirement plan available for them.
One of the numbers that we used here in this segment, 55% of adults participating in a workplace retirement plan. Chris, I guess that's reflective of the country accurately. So we have just over half of working adults participating in a retirement plan. Why is that a problem, or is that a good thing? What's the deal?
It's a big problem because since the early 1980s, there has been a shift away from companies taking care of their retirees and putting that on their balance sheet, the old defined benefit pension, and changing their responsibility, shifting the focus from the employer to the employee. And the statistics of how few people, how small the balances are in 401k plans are still really kind of dispiriting, to say the least, because the average balance in a 401k plan is really not all that big yet.
It's less than $100,000, right? Is what.
And that money in someone's 401k is intended to last over the retirement years? Is that the idea?
That's correct.
How much should we anticipate to have? What's the industry standard on this is how much you should have at retirement age, let's say 65, 70 years old?
That's depending on everybody's situation. If you don't have a pension plan,
there's not like a percentage of like if this is the life that you live, your expenses, there's not some calculation.
Well, they say you want to have at least 10 times whatever your annual salary is.
There is a rule of thumb, too, and these are the kind of things that people in the industry kind of bat back and forth. Like, you know, some people say the Dodgers were better than the Reds or the Reds were better than the Dodgers. Some people say, well, you should take 3% per year out, even though your portfolio might earn more than that. 3 is safe. And then there are others who will say, no, you can go up to 4. There is a body of work that suggests that 3.6% actually is sustainable for a balanced portfolio. And what that means is that for every $1 million worth of stuff you have, you can take out $3,000 a month for the rest of your life with high confidence. So if you want an additional $36,000 a year forever and have something to pass along to your kids and grandchildren, then you should at least have $1 million. But that's just a rule of thumb. Everyone's different. Some people can live comfortably on that. Some people can't. So it just depends.
According to some reporting on the SECURE Act, some of the key takeaways include that this apparently makes it easier, as you mentioned, Agnes, for small business owners to set up a safe harbor retirement plan that are less expensive and easier to administer. Do you have any idea or understanding yet of how a small businessman who's hearing about this for the first time or maybe trying to familiarize himself or herself with it, how they're to understand that this is now an easier endeavor for them to embark upon?
It's supposed to be easier. It's going to take some time and energy and people understanding the actual tax law in order to make it happen. But they are allowing groups of small businesses to come together and form a 401k plan as a small business group. That way, your expenses are a lot cheaper because you're spreading those expenses out amongst a group of you rather than just yourself.
The SECURE Act also makes eligible, for the first time, many part-time workers to participate in an employer retirement plan under this legislation. Is that unusual?
Yes, it is, because a lot of employers, big employers, they don't want to deal with all the part-time people. There's a lot of administrative costs and expense in setting up a 401k and keeping a 401k. If you allow all the part-time people, you just have that many more people. So it is unusual, but I think it's a great thing. Those part-time people need to have a place that they can put their money without seeing it. They can always put money into an IRA, but with a 401k, it comes directly out of your paycheck, whereas you're not seeing it. If you're putting it into an IRA, you've seen that money, and it's less likely to go into the IRA.
The other thing about this SECURE Act is the broad sweep of the Act itself in terms of who is affected and what kinds of tax-saving devices are affected. It affects 529 plans. It affects qualified retirement plans and IRA accounts. It affects the rules for tax-free, at least penalty-free, not tax-free, but penalty-free withdrawals for things that really weren't a factor, like a birth of a child or adoption now that springs money from a retirement plan that otherwise could not have happened prior to this act.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm joined today by Barnes Denig CPA Agnes Spelker and Wells Fargo financial advisor Chris DeSimio. And we're breaking down the SECURE Act, the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act, and how that could impact your retirement plans. According to reporting in the Washington Post, the, quote, huge benefit is that the SECURE Act changes the age of initiation from 70 and a half to 72. I know that you two are more financially literate than I am. What's the benefit? Why is that huge, as the Washington Post reported?
It says it's huge. All it is delaying the time that you have to start taking money out. But people are living a lot longer. When they set the 70 and a half, people weren't living as long as they are today. So the 72 is just a reflection of lifespan for individuals.
So it's just good news that we're living longer.
And it does add a little more flexibility for those who would rather not. It left intact the ability to make a qualified charitable contribution, charitable deduction, QCD, from your IRA. That remained at 70 and a half. So you can still do that. They didn't push that back to 72. And they also allowed now, it allows people to more easily, and as Agnes mentioned this, if you're over 70 and a half, let's say you're still working, you enjoy working, you're still making money and you're 75 or beyond. You used to be that you had to really jump through hoops to try to set up a retirement plan to allow you to defer more of your income. Now it's easy with the SECURE Act.
I want to talk about the age thing again with the way that it allows for contributions to traditional IRAs after a certain age. But I think before we proceed, even though a lot of our listeners probably are familiar with these terms, let's just help out those of us who may not be as familiar. I need like the quick elevator explanation of both 401k and IRA. I know there are a lot of different types of those items, but just a basic overview before we proceed here for the listeners' benefit and mine.
401ks are typically with a business. An IRA is typically something that you do individually. I make some money. I want to put some money away. I don't have a plan within my company. I can put money away. That's the basic. There are IRAs that are within companies, but most 401ks are actually within a company.
Okay, so an easy way to understand that then is that 401k is typically associated with private enterprise or employer. Retirement plans, whereas IRA is typically associated with a private retirement plan.
That's correct.
A personal private retirement plan. So the SECURE Act now allows contributions to traditional IRAs after the age of 70 and a half. And according to the Washington Post, this is closely, it says people have been given a little bit of extra leeway in choosing the age at which to begin taking withdrawals from their IRAs. And all of this is very confusing, even though 70 might just be around the corner faster than all of us think, and we need to be knowledgeable about these things. But what's the benefit there? Why does that matter?
I think it's a huge benefit because we have a situation where only 55% of the people have retirement accounts. You've got people that are working into their 70s, way into their 70s, because they don't have a retirement account in order that they can stop working. They need those funds from working. If they can still continue to put money into the retirement, that gives them the option or the hope to be able to retire at a future date.
We talked a little bit, I believe, Chris, you made a reference to how you're planning and whether you want to leave something for the next generation and all of that. I know that there has been some controversy related to the Secure Act as it relates to a change in inheritance of retirement accounts.
Big.
Tell me what this means.
Well, used to be that if you inherit an IRA from someone who was not your spouse, that you could stretch out the distribution of those funds and the recognition of the tax over your lifetime. And it usually was a calculation involving the age of the person who owned the IRA and your age. And then but you had to at least take out a minimum each and every year, but you were allowed to extend or stretch this out over your life expectancy. Now that's been compressed into 10 years. So you don't have to take it out every year. You don't have to, you can skip the first 9 and take it all out in the 10th year. But for anyone who receives an IRA from someone who passed away after 2019, the new rules apply. So if you've already inherited an IRA from someone prior to December 31st, 2019, no change. But everyone after that comes under the new law. And it does, it might be better in some situations. It might be worse. It may force people who are beneficiaries of someone who passed away that they're in their 50s or 60s and in their peak earning years, it may force them to have to start taking distributions and compress those into a 10-year period instead of stretching them out over their lifetime. But it does give some flexibility in that you could do 1 year and skip the next, do one, skip the next. You have 10 years to figure it out. I imagine there will be those in the financial services industry who are already working on ways to do that.
Okay, I'm reading about student loans and the relationship that they have to the Secure Act. It says here that the Secure Act allows for the use of tax-advantaged 529 accounts for qualified student loan repayments up to $10,000 annually. Would either of you be able to speak to what that might mean?
I would love this. I would love to speak about this, but this is definitely a good plan. We've got a lot of people out there that have their own student loans and are trying to pay for their kids' college educations, and they're putting money away into 529 plans for their kids. Well, if their kids end up not going to college, or if they go to college and they get a full-ride scholarship, that 529 plan is still sitting there. There's still money in that account. There was no way to get that money out of that account to pay for the student loans. And with this new Secure Act, needed by their son or daughter and use it to pay off some of their student loans.
Well, let's go back to Finance 101 then, as we did just moments ago. Tell me what a 529 account is.
A 529 account is an account that you can put money into. You don't get a deduction for it. You get a small deduction in some states, depending on where you're at. But that money grows. So the idea is if you have a child, just have a child, you put money into the 529 plan, it grows for 18 years. When you start to use it, that money has grown a lot. Any of that income that's earned within the 529 plan is not taxed as long as that money is taken out for educational purposes.
It grows tax-free.
It grows tax-free.
That's right.
Seems very valuable. And I'm wondering, you know, we hear a lot about the student loan crisis, the student debt crisis. It has seriously amounted over the past couple of decades. Chris, I'm wondering, in your field, is this something you're seeing a lot more parents talk seriously to people like you about, like, we don't want our kids to be in this position of being weighed down by debt, so we want to figure out the right program to be prepared to help as much as we can.
Exactly, because the cost of college is still pretty stiff. And the people who have money set aside in these plans can avoid a lifetime of interest charges from student loans, because it can be a trap sometimes. The loan company will say, well, you just graduated from college, just defer, don't pay. And that the thing is, that interest meter never quits ticking. And so you might not have to make payments for a while, but the balance keeps getting worse. And so this is a way to address that.
Chris DeSimeo from Wells Fargo and Agnes Spilker from Barnes Denning, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Marks.